Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. And Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We spent a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening. I realize that it's always amazing to me to see how the Lord puts things together. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that preparation for this particular night didn't happen just in the last day or so. The preparation for this night was several weeks ago when we gave titles to the message of Revelation 2:10, Toughened by Testing, last Sunday, first session. Revelation 2:10, second session, That Which Becomes Obsolete. And then for tonight, Death, a Great Transition. I thought that was quite unique. Revelation 2:10, that subject which was made possible for us in preparation a number of weeks ago. And so we come tonight to deal with this magnificent subject, a transition. Death is a great transition. We bow for a moment of prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for this evening. Father, we rejoice in the fact tonight that we have the assurance that your plan for us is always best. Even though we do not know many times why things happen as they do, we realize that the Scripture teaches us that all things do work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. And so tonight we rejoice in the fact that we have this magnificent book, the wonderful Word of God. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the logistical provisions of life. We have always the wonderful, magnificent blessings which our Heavenly Father bestows upon us every single day. And so we're bowing tonight to express again our thanks for the privilege which is ours to focus our minds on these eternal truths. This particular passage specifically, we're thankful for it, and we're thankful for the men and women in past years and in previous and many years ago who were willing to lay down their lives for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you'll bless us now tonight, that we may be able to take the things which we're studying and utilize them and apply them, and help us then to be able to be effective witnesses for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading tonight the church at Smyrna, beginning with verse 8 of chapter 2, reading down through verse 11. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, The first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. And the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Verse 11, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. On the screen you see this verse, Revelation 2:10. We've analyzed it a number of times and we're looking at it again this evening. It begins with a negative may. Do not fear those things which are about to come your way. In essence, what this is saying is, you folk are to be aware of the fact that you'll be facing many difficulties, trials, tests, torture. But do not be afraid. And if any of you may have fear in your hearts, the negative "may" would indicate stop doing what you're already doing in case there is any fear in your hearts and minds and souls. Do not fear those things which you are about to suffer. Then we have, "Behold, the devil is about to cast some from among you into prison, that you may be tested. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Since we've already analyzed these facets of this particular verse, we're coming down to the last part of the verse, which now says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Tonight we're going to emphasize one word that's in this particular verse, and that is the word thanatou. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-U. Actually, when you look at it from the Greek in the nominative case, it's T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. What is interesting to me is that when I thought about the subject of death, I came to the conclusion that this is a time of transition. When a person breathes their last breath and moves out of this body, out of this tent, out of this temple of clay, and they move into that eternal home of our wonderful Savior, it is a transition time. When I looked up the word transition, I discovered that it meant just about what I thought it did. It means a passage from one state to another. Another way to look at the word transition, it means a period of time which something or someone moves from one location to another location. I thought that was interesting because it said it very well. Transition means a period of time which something or someone moves from one location to another. When I looked at the word transition, I realized that that word is used in many different fields. For instance, it's used in the field of music. There is the word modulation, moving from one key to another. The word transition is used in the field of architecture. Different centuries, different style of buildings, different countries, different constructions by individuals in various places. In fact, I realize that many people over the years have lived in various ways. For instance, people have lived in caves. Some have lived in tents. Some have lived in log cabins. Some have lived in wood frames, frame buildings. Some have lived in brick. Some have lived in stone. I was reminded of the fact that I came on the scene in a wood frame building. Now, that's going to date me and let you know that someone asked a question the other day, "Did you live in a house before electricity?" And I had to say, "Yes, I did." And so I just want you to know that living styles have changed. There's a transition. I went through and have gone through a transition in my own life over the period of years, coming from that farmhouse with no electricity, no telephone, all of those things which we did not have, indoor plumbing. I don't need to go into all of this because it might remind some of you of some of the experiences that you've had. Transition in the field of physics, for instance, a change of physical properties, configurations change. I notice also transition in the field of sports, changing from defense to offense. When I think in terms of childhood to adulthood, that is, of course, a transition time. When a child moves in the school from one classroom to another classroom, that's a change. That's a transition. There are different words that are used for the word transition. Let me just give you a few. Changeover is a word or expression used for transition. Changeover. Transmutation is another word that is used for transition. The word shift is used. Switch is used. Alteration is used. Modification is used. Modulation is used. Metamorphosis is used. There are a lot of different words that are used for transition. But then I put at the bottom of my notes here, in capital letters, death is a great transition. So tonight we're going to be looking at this for a little bit. Some of you perhaps are aware of the fact that when you study the Scripture, you'll find that there are some interesting words. There is the Greek word nekros, which is translated dead. You will find, or death, and you will also find the word that we have here, which is the word thanatos or thanatou. And there are various categories of death. I'm going to, first of all, put some up here so that you can, if you so desire, to take abbreviated notes down on each of these. For instance, there's what is known as the category of physical death. There's the category of spiritual death. In the Bible, there is also presented to us the second death. There's an emphasis upon positional death. There's an emphasis, number five, on carnal death. I have chosen to use the word operational death for number six. I even came to the conclusion some years ago that another way to express death would be oppositional death. We're going to come back in a few moments to analyze some of these. And then the eighth one that I found is sexual death. Now, some of you are looking at these, and what I want you to do is because I wanted to abbreviate these so that you, if you want just a very simple little definition for each one, that you'd be able to have this down. We're going to be analyzing tonight two of these. One of these will be physical death, which is number one. The next one that we will study just briefly will be number three, which is the second death. So if you're looking at these on the screen, you will see that physical death is an emphasis upon separation from the body and soul. And all of us are aware of the fact that God has made us body and soul, and as a believer, body, soul, and spirit. It is so fantastic to be able to be aware of the fact that when we leave this life as a born-again believer, it is the separation of body and soul and spirit. And so we emphasize physical death, separation of body and soul and spirit. Spiritual death is an emphasis upon separation from God in time. And this is emphasizing the fact that some people have never been born into God's kingdom, and so they're separated from God in time. We find an emphasis on the subject of spiritual death in John chapter 3. Most of you are familiar with that passage. The third one you see on the screen is second death, which is separation from God forever. All of us are aware of the fact that if a person goes through life rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, they come to the close of life and they've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They leave this life lost, unsaved, and doomed for eternity in a place of eternal destruction. And that is known in the Scripture as the second death, separation from God forever. The fourth one that you see on the screen is positional death. This is a beautiful one. This is an emphasis on our identification with Christ in His death and in His resurrection. How fantastic this is. I hope that you're getting these notes down, and I'm doing it very rapidly and quickly this evening. But positional death is our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death and His resurrection. The fifth one you see on the screen is the word carnal death, which emphasizes a person who is a believer who's out of harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number five. Number six, I've chosen to call operational death. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to emphasize the fact that this is the believer who is not living according to God's plan. And so as a result of that, there's a failure to produce. And that's a very brief statement to explain a lot of information that could be given on the subject of operational death. The seventh one you see is oppositional death. And this is emphasizing a person living in opposition to God's plan. And I want you to know that all of us have studied in the past the divine power sphere. We've understood what it means for the believer to get inside of that power sphere and do so by the filling of the Holy Spirit and have a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. over a period of time, having the kind of humility that they need to have, having a relaxed attitude in life, having perception and application to the Word of God, having love for God, having love for companion, if that's the particular case, and then love and fellowship with other believers, and then great happiness and joy and peace and contentment. But the person who lives outside of God's plan is living in opposition to God's wonderful design for life. Then number 8, which you see on the screen, we'll not emphasize this tonight, which was emphasized inability to reproduce. Now tonight we're going to deal, first of all, with the subject of physical death or separation of body and soul and spirit. I'm going to put these on the screen, and I realize that these particular points are in small letters. I really did this for myself and not for you, but since I have it, I felt like that I would just read these to you so that you'll be able to have some concept and relationship to the subject of physical death. If you'll notice, I put number 1, separation of the soul from the body, and I also would say spirit. Let's analyze for a few moments what we have in our first point here. We've already said that when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're born into God's kingdom. They become a recipient of imputed righteousness. They are moved from dichotomy, body and soul, to body, soul, and spirit. This is not new to anyone here tonight. It is recapitulation, it's reiteration, but it is something that needs to be presented, and that is that you tonight are aware of the fact that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your body, soul, and spirit. And when you die, what happens is that there's a separation. There's a transition. And the transition simply means that the body and the soul and the spirit are separated. And all of us are aware of that. So, we have to emphasize that the scripture that is presented to us is 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. And you can put this one down and then look at it later if you will, please. But physical death is defined then as separation of the soul from the body so that the person involved is no longer living on the earth. I would emphasize here that such death cannot separate the believer from God. This is presented to us in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. When I look at the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, I feel like that what we have here is the Apostle Paul's hallelujah chorus. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. And he goes on, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What I'd like for you to do is put down Romans chapter 8, 38, 39. Death cannot separate the believer from God. If you'll keep this in mind, it will be a tremendous blessing to you as you think in terms of what takes place when a loved one or a friend leaves this life and goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing that I notice here is that physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of our Heavenly Father based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. Now let me see if I can repeat that and let's analyze it together. Physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of our Heavenly Father based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. In other words, you just may not agree with God when it's time for you to go home. But I want to share with you tonight that when it's time for you to go, you're going to go. And I want all of us to be aware of the fact that God is fully in charge of the time, the conditions, the circumstances of our homegoing. And so I repeat, number 3, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of our Heavenly Father based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. That leads me to reiterate for a few moments because some of you didn't get the other points. Point one, physical death is determined and defined as separation of the soul from the body so that the person involved no longer lives on the earth. If you didn't get that point, that was number one. Number two, such death cannot separate the believer from God. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Number three, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of our Heavenly Father, based upon His perfect knowledge of all the facts. There are many verses of Scripture that reveal that, but let me give you Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Number four, there are times when God chooses to prolong our lives when it appears that death is extremely close. In other words, what I'm saying here is that God can, however, and does sometimes prolong physical life on the earth. And that's revealed to us in Psalm 102, if you want to write this one, verses 19 and 20, Psalm 102, verses 23 and 24, and Psalm 118, verse 18. In other words, God at times, when we think that the life is just about at the end, God seems to prolong the life for a period of time. Number five, a believer who obtains maturity departs from this life under the principle of dying grace. Now, I slow down there because I want you to see how fantastic this statement is. A believer who obtains maturity, who advances over a period of time, who grows in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, which I trust that all of us in this auditorium are doing, even at this very moment. A believer who obtains maturity departs from this life under the principle of dying grace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What I'm saying here, and this is beautiful, in Psalm 23:4, a believer who is advancing on a daily basis, like you folk are, will one of these days depart from this life under the principle of dying grace. I could spend a lot of time tonight on the subject of dying grace. In fact, perhaps most of you have studied that subject with us in past days. Dying well, I call it. Dying well. Or dying grace. Number six. In Psalm 116, verse 15, the Scripture gives us an interesting statement. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the godly ones." Now, I realize that I'm giving that in a little different translation, but I want you to see what it says. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. This applies to the believer who understands God's grace plan, who understands the grace plan which is designed for every born-again believer, the grace system of comprehension. We've studied it over and over and over again. Precious. I don't know whether you like that word or not, but I think it's a very neat word. Precious. Have you ever realized how oftentimes we say, when we pick up a little child, isn't he, isn't she precious? You use that terminology, don't you? And so I want you to think about it in light of Psalm 116, verse 15. Because it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Number seven. What we understand is that death has been for us magnificently planned as a result of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And that is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that includes everything about Him in relationship to His virgin birth, virgin conception, His sinless life, His willing to die for the sins of the world. All of that's involved. But right now I'm pointing out the fact that resurrection is victory over death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And you probably memorized that verse of Scripture. All believers, I believe, get a fair shake from the justice of God. The resurrection is victory over death. And it is designed not only for believers, but it's actually designed for everyone. But all believers specifically, even carnal believers or dedicated, perceptive believers, get a fair shake from the justice of God. This is presented to us beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 54 and reading through 57. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to this magnificent passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a passage of Scripture that most of you have read many, many times, but it is a fantastic passage of Scripture indeed. When the Apostle Paul is writing to these Corinthian believers, and he's emphasizing the fact that God changes things. He says, beginning with verse 51, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I don't want to go so rapidly that you miss that. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Verse 52 of 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But let's look on, verse 54. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Tonight we're dealing with a subject of how fantastic the transition is called death. Look at it in verse 54. Death is swallowed up in victory. I don't know why, but I just feel like we ought to stay there for a while and give that time to sink into our minds. Death is swallowed up in victory. Look at it, verse 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And how fantastic this is, because it says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you have the mental picture or not, but it seems like that the Lord says, I want you to see that I've come along and I've jerked the sting of death out. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in the light of what we've just read, what should our attitude be? Be steadfast, unmovable, immovable is the way it says here. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. If you're looking at what we have on the screen, if you're able to see it from where you're sitting, if you're not, that's okay. The first point is separation of the soul from the body, 1 John 3:14. Number two, such death cannot separate the believer from God, Romans 8:38. Number three, physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based upon His perfect knowledge of all facts. 4, at times God will prolong physical life. Psalm 102, 19 and 20. Psalm 102, 23, 24. Psalm 118, verse 18. Number 5, a mature believer departs from life under the principle of dying grace. We've already emphasized this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We've already emphasized Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Number 7, resurrection is victory over death for all believers. The justice of God gives to all a fair shake. We have there an emphasis upon what I would call divine impersonal love. I want to emphasize now a few things that I believe are necessary. What do we mean when we say that a person dies well? It's really the death of a believer who's advanced. It's a grace-abounding believer. Dying grace is the experience of physical death under what I would classify as ideal conditions of happiness and blessings. We're not talking about a person not having pain or suffering. We're talking about internal joy and peace and contentment. I put down in my notes, death is the transfer. Transition is the transfer from time to eternity. I want you to think with me about that. Death is the transfer from time to eternity. And dying grace is the bridge between the blessings of maturity and the blessings of eternity. Now, you're not going to get that just in the first hearing. It's too fast. Dying grace is the bridge between the blessings of maturity and the blessings of eternity. Many of you tonight will leave here, and some of you will leave going across the Fred Hartman Bridge to get home. Others will go in other directions. But if you're going that direction tonight, I want you to think about it. As you begin to go up on the Fred Hartman Bridge, just remember that dying grace is the bridge between the blessings that you and I are enjoying now and the blessings that we're going to enjoy throughout eternity. Dying grace, then, is designed by our Heavenly Father for believers with capacity. I realize how fantastic it is for a believer to leave this life with capacity. And this is the way I know you want to be. And I know it's the way I want to be. To leave this life when we do not know just when our departure time will be here. We want to leave the life with capacity. I believe what we take with us when we leave this life is not our material possessions or anything that is physical. I believe what we take with us when we leave this life is capacity. Dying grace is designed by our Heavenly Father for believers with capacity. And dying grace removes the fear of death. A lot of people are afraid of death. I do not know what the condition is in your heart and mind and soul. I don't believe that you are afraid, because your trust and confidence is in the God who's in charge. The sovereign will of God determines how you're going, when you're going, the conditions under which you will leave this life. And since He knows all the facts, I promise you, He'll do the very best for you and me. And we need to be aware of that. And then I jotted myself a note here, right out the side of Psalm 116, verse 15, which I've already given you. Dying grace is a blessing. I mentioned this a number of times over the past years. Some years ago, I had the privilege of preaching in the Philippine Islands. I had the privilege of going to preach in Hong Kong. It's so different to preach in the barrios of the Philippines and then going into a big city, Hong Kong, and preaching at the big church there in downtown Hong Kong. Going through the various dialects of the Philippines and going into Hong Kong and going through that type of Chinese interpretation, it was quite different for me. But one of the things that I remember about that trip was that they treated us very well. And they took us out oftentimes for meals. And they would give us what they would consider a 9 course meal. And I was always very skeptical because it seems like that they didn't know exactly how to treat a fish when they brought the fish out for you to eat. And it always appeared to me that when they brought the fish out, that the fish was still looking at me. Now, some of you are aware of the fact of that about which I speak. But I realized one thing for sure, and that is, throughout all of those magnificent meals, normally what would take place would be that the last course would be the dessert. And I believe that that's exactly the way God has designed it for us. I believe that the last course of His magnificent meal for us will be the dessert. And the dessert will be the blessing of moving into His eternal presence where we'll be forever and ever. Let me draw some quick conclusions. Number one, a believer who is advancing in grace and knowledge has no reason for fear. And I believe that that is taught us in the wonderful Word of God. Death has been a cause of worry and anxiety and fear for many people in the human race. But that, I believe, is not true in your life because of your confidence and trust in the God who knows all about everything. Special momentum eliminates worry and fear about death. Special spiritual momentum eliminates worry, fear about death. What I'm saying here is an understanding of God's overall design removes one of the greatest sources of worry. Worry and fear about death. In other words, if we're fearful, then it removes trust and faith and confidence. And if we're not trusting the Lord, it will continue to make our spiritual advance impossible. You see? There are two ways to leave this life. Someone said, this is not original with me. We can leave this life painlessly and quickly, or painfully and prolonged. There are two ways we can leave this life. Painlessly and quickly, or painfully and prolonged. I know what some of you are saying. I thought about it myself. It'd be fantastic to just go quickly. That may not be what God's plan is. It may be that He wants us to go painfully and prolonged. However, it is God who chooses both the manner and the time of our departure. This word is so fantastic. The Lord said to these people, you know what? You're going to face some hard times. Some of you are going to have to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. But here's something I want to say to you. Be faithful. It's a command. Be faithful. And I've already pointed this out, and I want to point it out again in closing. The command for us is to be faithful just as the command then was to be faithful. And the Lord is using the middle voice that says, The subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. The Lord is benefited by the way we leave this life, and we're benefited by the way we leave this life. We're to be faithful unto death. And then he says, I will give you the crown of life. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Death is a transition. It moves us from this life with an old sinful nature, with all the burdens and difficulties and trials and tests. But it moves us into a place where there's no old sin nature, no suffering, no pain, no agony, no death. All these former things have passed away. We need to consider the fact that life at the longest is so short, and we must be ready whenever that time comes for us to leave. The only way we can be ready is to know personally the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. And I'm sure that's true of every person in this auditorium tonight. But there may be someone who hears this voice who does not have that assurance. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for everyone. He died for you. And the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It was this same Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That tells us that the way of salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the only way. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can trust Him now. Father, thank you so much tonight for the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything we've done other than the fact that we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful fact that He's accepted us. And now we are members of His family as a result of our having accepted Him. We pray that there will be those who will do that even now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.